if the Lord will be with us this morning, I have a verse on my mind that's in the 14th chapter of the book of Revelation. If you have your scriptures and would like to read along with us, I think it's one that we've made mention of before in passing. But the text itself is on my mind, and I beg an interest in your prayers this morning as we try to focus in on it and look at several of the points that that we can learn from the inspired writing of the Apostle John. In Revelation chapter 14, in the 13th verse, the scripture says, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." Again, I know that we've mentioned this verse before to you, and even if you this morning are of the mind that you know what this verse is saying, trust that the Lord would be with us as we take maybe a little bit deeper look at it, and as we worship together this morning. We of course know that the book of Revelation was penned by the Apostle John while he was summoned and he was serving a sentence on the island of Patmos. He had been sent there as his punishment for being a what we would term today as being a Christian, a follower of Christ. And the Lord has paid a visit to John on this island and has blessed him to pen letters back to the seven churches of Asia. If you'll remember, several months ago we tried to go through the second and third chapters of the book of Revelation and address each one of those letters that he wrote to those particular churches, but we're past the individual directive writing to specific churches by the time we've gotten to the 14th chapter, and he's addressing the churches as a group. He's addressing the followers of God as a group. And he comes here to the 13th verse of the 14th chapter, and he tells us that he heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, "Write." As I read those particular words this morning, I don't think there's another place in Scripture that we can go to grasp exactly how Scripture was penned any better than what we see the Apostle John relaying to us right there in that one statement, that he heard a voice from heaven saying unto him, "Write." The words that every single word that we have before us in the Scriptures this morning were given to us this same very way. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. In other words, the Lord literally spoke to these men and told them exactly what to write. I am so thankful this morning that we are not reading anywhere in this particular book that we have open before us this morning the opinions of any man. We are reading the words of the Almighty God. And there came a voice from heaven saying unto me, "Write." And that is how the Scriptures were penned. You know, I had a minister explain to me one time. I asked him, I said, "Do you think that, I know that we understand that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." And I said, "I know that we understand that the Lord breathed them into existence. But do you think that whenever these men heard the voice from heaven, that it was a voluntary or an involuntary will that actually put them on the paper?" I thought that was a pretty good question. If you think about it, when we talk about a voluntary and involuntary will, I hope you know what I mean by that statement. Whenever we are born again of the Spirit of God and we come to Jesus in the new birth, that's involuntary. That's something that the Lord literally brings to pass. It's not something that we have to cooperate with in order for Him to make it happen. But the Scriptures teach us that discipleship and following is done by the will of man, by the providential hand of God, and that's how we follow the Lord in discipleship. And so I asked him, I said, "How do you think that the verses of the Bible were penned?" He said, I don't want to ride the fence too much, but I think it's a combination of both. I think that just as a child holds a pen in his hand, and as you teach him to write, a lot of times what do we as parents do whenever our children are learning to write? We put our hand over their hand and we write. And at any point in time that if the T's not crossed in the proper manner, what do? We hold their hand and we cross the T. And so in other words, I think it was a voluntary will of man, but I think it's by a providential hand of God that we don't always see and experience in this world anymore. But the Lord said, the Apostle John said, I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write. He's like the psalmist David. If you're following the Bible readings that we're trying to go through on the calendar that I gave to you, he says that my tongue is as the pen of a ready writer. In other words, the Lord gave me these things. And so as I encourage you to read the Word of God, I'm not encouraging you to read the opinions of man. I'm encouraging you to read the words of the Almighty God. And oh, what comfort the Apostle John here is about to give these saints. If you'll remember, he just got done telling them about the torment of the wicked a few verses before this. If you'll read with me in verses 10 and 11, he's speaking of the punishment of the wicked. And he says, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God. And it says, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. He's telling these saints of God about the punishment of the wicked. He said, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And if you use Bible language to define how long forever and ever is, if you go back to the 10th chapter of the book of Revelation, you'll see that the Apostle John wrote by one that swear by him that liveth forever and ever. He swears by the God Almighty. So how long is the torment of the wicked? It's forever and ever. And he's telling these saints that there's a wicked and there's punishment for them. I tell you, as we see those words and we see the Apostle John's definition given by the inspiration of God of what's going to happen to those wicked, he follows that up with words of comfort. So many times people take the book of Revelation and they like to take it and they want to tear the book of Revelation out. And they want to stack the pages upon pages with it and curl it up into a hard, knotted roll of piece of paper. And they want to beat the tar out of a child of grace with it. That's exactly what a lot of people want to do with the book of Revelation. Have you ever, if you don't believe you can make something that'll hurt out of a piece of paper, maybe y'all's mamas and daddies weren't creative as mine were. I've seen some pretty stiff instruments being made out of rolled up pieces of paper. And a lot of times that's what people want to do to the book of Revelation. They want to roll them up and twist them and get it just as hard as they can, and so that they can beat a child of grace over the head with it. But again, we see here the comforting words of the Lord to the saint of God and to those who are trying to live faithfully, to the child of God by grace. Because he said, I heard a voice immediately after I'm telling you about the punishment of the wicked. I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead. You know, unless you understand the grace of God, it's hard to say that it is a blessing to die. But whenever you know what God did for you by grace and what awaits for you on the other side, then you can say the same thing that the Apostle Paul said, that he desires to depart unto the Lord, which is far greater. Blessed are the dead. I tell you, child of grace, today, I know that this world may be hard on you at times. And believe me, this world will continue to get harder and harder on the people of God as they try to live faithfully in this world. But he's reminding them. He said, blessed are the dead. You're dead. You're blessed because there's a passing ahead of you. Blessed are the dead. They're blessed. Not cursed are the dead. He just got done telling us about the cursed of the wicked. But he said, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. And I'm telling you, it's a great blessing whenever you belong to God by grace. You're dying in the Lord. The Lord has told us not only that we're in Him. He's told us in John chapter 10 that we're in His hand, that no man is able to pluck us out of His hand. And the Scripture also says that not only are we in His hand, but He's in us. He says that the Spirit of God which raised up Jesus from the dead
if it dwell in you, then even so then shall that same Spirit quicken your mortal bodies. You're in Him and He's in you. I tell you, the Scripture, it's an open and shut case. There's no way that Satan should be able to convince us that we're going to fall from God's presence. He's in us and we're in Him. And blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Blessed are the dead. They're blessed. I tell you, they're not the ones who don't die in the Lord. They're not blessed. They're not blessed. They're cursed. They're cursed. You know, as you look and you see the ones who, this is not unfamiliar language to those who have read their Scriptures very much. If you'll remember, the Apostle Paul's writing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He told them that I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, and that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which what? Sleep in Jesus. He describes your sleep and in your death as not being asleep and dead in the grave. He says that you've passed in Jesus. That means that you've taken on His image. You've taken on His glory. You're taking on His perfection. And the Lord says, there's a blessing for those. I tell you, those are comforting words, are they not? That's not rolling up the book of Revelation and making a switch out of it. That's rolling up that's taking the Scriptures and making a fan for a hot, heated day, if you will, and being cooled by the comforting blessings of the Almighty God. He says, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, which die in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who belong to God by grace are forever kept by Him. And whenever you pass from this world, it's a blessing to be able to go. We sing a song that says, 'Tis so sweet to die. You know, there's a lot of people who are afraid when they hear that message. But I pray, because you know what God's grace has done for you, that whenever you hear that song, that you can sing it with tears in your eyes. It's a sweet blessing to be able to pass from this world. I tell you, would you rather have a loved one pass under the knowledge of another doctrine than that which the Lord has blessed the church with today? I don't want to face the prospect of losing one of my loved ones under any other comfort than that which I have through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is that they belong to God by grace. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. I remember I tried to speak on this particular verse at the funeral of my grandmother, because I believe that she toiled and labored in this life. I believe she was one that worked herself to a point where she was no longer able to walk. She had to be helped from point A to point B in a wheelchair. And she couldn't stand it. She couldn't stand anybody else waiting on her. You know, as you go, every time you tried to wait on her, she tried to do it herself. And you would just have to remind her, you know, how many diapers she had cleaned. And how many times that she had done and prepared for everybody. And I was trying to give her as much rest and peace as this world would offer. And there remaineth a rest for the people of God in this world. But the physical rest does not enter into us. And we don't get to enjoy it until we reach the other side. We have spiritual rest in this life through the truth that the Lord has given us. But we don't have physical rest until we take our last breath and we go home to be with the Lord. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. I tell you, there's two categories of children of God in this world. There's ones that either know grace or the ones that don't know grace. And those who know grace have spiritual rest in this world, but they don't have any physical rest, you see, because they're laboring in the kingdom of God. Should be laboring in the kingdom of God. The Scripture says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works that God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. If you have physical rest and spiritual rest in this world, then maybe you're not laboring in the kingdom as you should. You should have spiritual rest through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that your soul is at peace and that you know that you're justified by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that means that you have justification by faith. That means that you're trusting in the finished work of the Lord. I feel justified in the eyes of my Savior. But those who are not blessed to be able to have that knowledge, what are they still trying to do? They're still trying to work their way in. They're still trying to do what is right and pleasing in the eyes of the Lord, because they feel that their sins are going to cause them not to be able to enjoy the presence of the Lord.
Well, I tell you, the Lord took care of both of those categories right here. He's saying if you have spiritual rest in this world, but you're still laboring in the kingdom, or if you don't have spiritual rest, but you're laboring in your bed at night, wondering if your sins have been paid for on the cross of Calvary, the Lord He's put an open and shut case to this and said, this is where both of those parties will have rest. It'll be whenever I take them from this life. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. You see, the wicked that I just read to you about in verses 10 and 11, the Scripture says that they have no rest day and night. They rest now because they are laid back and lackadaisical with their walk. Nothing bothers them here. Nothing bothers them. They don't look at a TV and see that a young 8-year-old boy was blown away by a murderous nut. It doesn't bother them. They're not bothered by it. They have rest here in this world. But let me tell you, there'll come a day when they'll have no rest. But their cries of their torment will be up forever and ever. They'll have no rest. But the Lord has said, those of you who are troubled, whenever you see the wickedness in this world, there remaineth a rest on the other side. There's something that is going to ease your pain. And it's because you get to enjoy the eternal presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I tell you, that's comforting to me today. That's comforting. Oh, how I wish that some of those who were affected by that up there knew that message and had hope in that. I trust that the Lord will bless us to never take for granted. Therefore, we ought to take the more earnest heed to the things in which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And these comforts is something that can slip from you if you don't take the more earnest heed to them and rejoice in them. The Lord has said here, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. That they may rest. I tell you again, in Hebrews chapter 4, the Apostle Paul is going through some charges to the children of God, to the Hebrews in particular, and showing them how the New Testament covenant of grace through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ is better than the law. See, in that law service, they had no rest. In that law service, the children of Israel had labors and work. They had chores to do. And the Lord here through is blessing the Apostle Paul to write unto them. And he says in verse 9 of Hebrews chapter 4, it says, let me start in verse 8. It says, for if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? See, even the folks in the Old Testament were told of something greater further on. And that's something greater, that new kingdom, is that which we are a part of today, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says in verse 9, he says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. A spiritual rest. There remaineth a rest for the people of God. You know, I heard a preacher, a minister of the gospel, a couple of Fridays ago preach about how he wore out a mourner's bench for 3 years, and how every time he was given the opportunity, he would come forth and bow before that mourner's bench, and he would think as he left that day, left that night, that he had finally done what he needed to do so that he could go to heaven if he passed. But he said it wouldn't be long after he left that night that again he would stumble. And he would sin. And he'd feel like, all I got to do, I got to do it over again. I got to go again. I got to go over and over and over again. You know what that particular person was doing? He was failing, read verse 10 with me, to do. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. The only way that you can cease from your own works is whenever you say, there is nothing that I could have done or can do to obtain my eternal salvation. It is all in the hands of the Lord. That's rest. That's when you can finally say, I have to put all my faith in Thee. All my faith in the Lord. Or either I don't have any rest. You know, there's a lot of people who will say, once you put your faith in Him, then you get the life and you get the rest. But that's not what this verse is saying. This verse is saying that you have the life, but in order to get the rest, you've got to put your faith and your trust in the one that gave you the life. You've got to lay it all down at His feet. And that's got to be the the only trust that you have. If you have trust in your own works, then you're still laboring. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their works. That they may rest from their labors. That they could find rest for their souls. You know, there's nothing better than a good night's rest after a hard day's work. There's nothing more blessed than a good rest after a hard day's work. And as good news is to as water is to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. That's the way you receive the rest is through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and listening to the message and saying this is exactly what the Lord teaches us in His Word is true and is right. But how many people hear it and they still question it? They're like the ones in Luke chapter 24 who said that they believe not for joy. They said they believe not for joy. They said this message is too true. I can't believe that there's nothing that I have to do. That's just too good for me to grasp hold to. I tell you, they still don't have rest in this world. But the Lord says because they belong to me by my grace, they'll have rest with me in eternity. The Lord here is again, He sent comfort to the people of God back then. He's comforting us today through these words, that they may rest from their labors. How many of you know somebody today that you're praying that real soon that their labors on this earth will end? You know, I had to ask a pastor one time. There was someone that I loved who faced the prospect of passing. And I had to ask him, I said, is it okay for me to pray for the Lord to take them on? That He would just come and just go ahead and take them. Because I'm watching them labor and toil. And he said, as long as you pray for the Lord's will to be done, that your hope and your trust is that their labors and toil are going to end whenever they take their last breath, you pray for it. And I tell you, what a blessed peace I felt inside. It's like I was laboring with them until that point. That I finally just said, Lord, come and take them from their labors here in this world. I tell you, brothers and sisters, we got something so much. Sometimes we get so caught up in the affairs of this life that we forget just how much better the other side is. There's no more pain over there. The Scripture says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you that where I am, that I will come again, that where I am, there ye may be also. We'll be in the presence of our Lord. And He's performed all the works here in this world. And there'll be no more works on the other side. Even our worship, which I believe does take place on the other side, it's not a work. It's something that just is just overjoying to be at the presence of the feet of our Savior. He says that they may rest from their labors. I tell you, there's labor, work in this world. But the Lord has said, I've got rest in my home. It's rest for you. It's spiritual rest in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's literal physical rest to those of you who have labored in the kingdom of God whenever you finally get to go home and come and be with me. I tell you, the Apostle Paul, again, I'm going to quote it again. He said that he desired to depart and go into the Lord, which is far greater. Far greater than even the rejoicing service of God that he had to the churches back then. And what a joy it is to serve in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. To be in the part of such joyous times in the life of people. To see people join the church and to be able to be a part of their baptism. It's rejoicing, but I tell you, it's far greater on the other side. It's far greater on the other side. The Lord has said that they may rest from their labors. But he says their works follow them. Revelation 14 and 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. And their works do follow them. You know, I grew up and my daddy's first cousin had left the order that I grew up in and had joined. He's a loving man. Love is his grandchildren that are more my age and they seem to be godly people and have set up blessed families in the community I grew up in but their grandpa left the teachings of grace and went into the teaching of Arminianism and became a pastor amongst those people. And every time we had a family member pass, they'd always feel that they needed to ask him to take part in the funeral. And, you know, I'm going to take the opportunity, because the time is with us, to encourage you to never feel that way about somebody that you want to ask to speak at your loved one's passing. Never think that because they're kin to you that you've got to keep from hurting somebody's feelings. You know, one of the things that I've observed in the few funerals I've been a part of is that a lot of the families are so worried that they're going to hurt a preacher's feelings in the midst of that. And I told a minister at the last funeral I was in, I said, I don't know what happened at what stage in a long time that so many ministers used to get their feelings hurt, that people had to feel like they had to walk on ice at a time when the minister should be there for whatever the family needs them for, that they feel like they have to keep from hurting the minister's feelings. It's like they feel like they won't, well, if I don't ask him to be a part of it, I'm gonna hurt his feelings. Any minister of the gospel that's worth a grain of salt will say, I'll be there and I'll do what you need me to do. It ain't about me. It's about whatever you need for your comfort. And I, you know, the reason why I mention that is every time that we had a loved one pass, we had to sit up there and listen, sit down there and listen to how they've reached the third pinnacle of heaven that day because they played the piano in church, that they reached a spot in heaven that was greater than other people who had gone who didn't serve in the kingdom. And I'm going to tell you, a funeral ain't a time to puke, but that's just about what that message will make you feel like when you've lost a loved one. And that when you know that there are children of God out in this world that aren't blessed to serve in this world, that are every bit in the same presence of our Almighty Savior in heaven. These works that follow them is not teaching us that our works follow us to eternity. Praise be to the Lord that I'll leave every sin I've ever committed in this body whenever the Lord takes my soul and spirit home to be with Him. My works will not follow me. My works will not follow me before the judgment seat of the Almighty God. It will be the works of the Lord Jesus Christ in which I'm judged by, where I'm declared innocent. And that's my hope this morning. Our works do not follow us to eternity. And he says, well, they follow them. The Apostle John says that they follow them. Where are they following them to? They follow their name in this world. They follow their name concerning their service. Think for just a second about how many times, even in this message, I've mentioned the name Apostle Paul. Think about in this service today how many times I've mentioned the name Apostle John. Think of how many times during the past year we've mentioned the names of David and men like David and men like Samuel, who were great men according to the way in which Scripture teaches us that we ought to follow our Lord in obedience. And how do their works follow them? They were faithful, so we recognize them today as being faithful men. That's the way that our works follow us here in this world. You know, the Scripture teaches us that he that uses the office of a deacon well purchases to himself a great degree and a good degree and a great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus the Lord. How does a work of a great deacon follow him? It follows him in name. It's amazing how whenever I speak to other ministers who are much older than me, how they remember the names of faithful deacons who have gone past and their service at the particular church where they pastor. Not only about a deacon, but the Scripture teaches us the same about a minister of the gospel. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. And let's look here what the Scripture says about a minister of the gospel. And I've caught myself applying this probably in the context, which I don't think it's wrong, but I think there's a better context to apply it. That there's a better context to apply in 1 Peter chapter 5, the teachings of a minister's crank. The Scripture says, concerning 1 Peter chapter 5, he's writing, it says, the elders which are among you I exhort. And so the verses following are is exhortation to elders. And what does he say in verse 4? And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. I tell you, when the chief shepherd appeared and takes a minister of the gospel who has faithfully labored among the people of God, what do they have left amongst the people of God? A good reputation that people remember them and say, he served us faithfully. I tell you, I hope that people can say that about me, even if I never woke tomorrow, if I'm blessed with 40 more years in the service, that the Lord will say that crown of glory, that the people of God will recognize the service to the to God the glory and not to man the glory. But the works follow them. You know, I was blessed to be able to be up in North Carolina a few weeks ago. It was the Sunday that we missed with y'all, and we were at the fifth weekend association meeting of the Bear Creek Association. And on Saturday, Brother Rick Stewart and I, we shared time with people that if we multiplied our age times each other, we'd have to multiply them times four to even get close to probably some of the ones who spoke that particular day. And it's amazing how one of the ones that was asked to speak, I was sitting by him whenever they called on him to speak, and he couldn't even hear the home minister, you know. And I said, well, I guess this home minister knows what he's doing. You know, I didn't, to me, it sounded like he didn't even know what was being asked of him. I didn't know he was of a sound mind. But he got up before the people of God and preached so eloquently. And it was the pastor that had served for many years, that particular church where we were. And it was the pastor who had baptized the family whose house we were staying in, and who had baptized all their children. And they spoke so well of. And no, he may not be here a few years from now if the Lord blesses us to be able to go back up there and be with them. But he has a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Look at how the people look at him and say, this man served us faithfully. I tell you, our works follow us. A lot of people want to try to put this in an eternal realm, but that's not the realm of how our works follow us. Our works follow us here in this world. They follow us in our name whenever we depart. How do we want to be remembered? If you don't wake up in the morning, how do you think that the people of God at Macedonia Church will remember you? Do you think they'll speak of it? Or do you think that there'll be sweet memories like there are of the ones who have passed since I've been blessed to be able to be here? There's not a time in whenever I'm blessed to be able to hear the song, Sweet Rivers of Redeeming Love, that I don't think about the last time I was in the presence of Sister Polly Davs, where she sang that song from her heart. We sat in that room and she sang it. She knew it from first to the last verse. She never even had to open up a book. And I'm praying that my children never forget what a blessed experience that was to be able to see that. Her works have followed her. She didn't learn that song just by coming to church once a month. She learned that song because she was faithful in her service to the Lord. She knew she knew those things by heart. She was faithful. Her works have followed her. And I tell you, the same charge exists to us. He's saying, yes, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. There's something greater further on. But the Lord has said, their works follow them. They follow them. Think about the terms or the descriptions that are given to people in the Scriptures. You know, you've got a whole list of them in Hebrews chapter 11. You've got a whole list of people who live by faith. You've not only got a whole list of them in Hebrews chapter 11 who live by faith. You've got men like we tried to speak about back towards the beginning of the year. Men like Joseph that the Scripture describes as a just man. That's what the Lord called that man, was a just man. If we go back to the book of 2 Kings in the 4th chapter, what do we read? We read about a great woman of Shunem. She was a great woman, and look at how the Lord blessed her life, and the Lord blessed her to be able to have a child that was healed. And he said he called her great in his Scriptures. And people say, Brother Will, are you motivating people to try to pump up their name? No, I'm motivating to try to encourage people so that the Lord would look on them in a way in which he looks on faithful people in the Bible. That's what I'm trying to encourage. I'm trying to encourage young people to live as the Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael did in the book of Daniel. And as the world around them bowed unto a false god, they stood strong. That's what I'm trying to encourage in saying, your works follow you. There's people that are looking. There's little lambs in this world that are looking for people to follow, and that are looking for people to have as an example. I pray that in my own life that I can be that good example that they need. That's my prayer for myself. And I hope by reading and hearing the words of the Apostle John that you share the same prayer. That you say, Lord, I don't know who it is that you're going to bless me to be able to come into contact with, but I pray that I can be that person that they need for their service to thee. That's a godly prayer. And that's what not only we should be as individuals, that's what we should be as families. That's what we should be collectively as a church. That they would look to us as following that which the Lord teaches us is just and is right. And the Spirit saith unto me, right. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Not only is our home in heaven enough of an incentive for us to work hard here in this world, but the thought that if you say today, you say, well, my family is not real interested in the church, Brother Will. I don't know if it'll do any good for me to try to do something and them see me. They just don't seem to be real interested. You never know when one of these days something may happen and they'll say, I tell you, Papa or Grandmama, whoever, they seem to always have the answers that I need. Let me go talk to some people who knew them and who knew of their faithfulness. You never know when that question may pop up. You never know when that willingness to serve from one of your descendants and the question will pop up about who they were. Their works do follow them. May the Lord bless us to be the type of people that He would have us to be. And may the Lord also bless us to continue to rest in His finished work and also learn from His Word, all of which is taught in that one particular verse from Revelation 14 and 13. I thank you for your kind, sweet attention this morning. And if you received any blessings from the message, be careful to give God all the honor, praise, and glory for it.